everyone, and welcome to Iacon Underground Radio, our Toy Fair extravaganza for 2026. I'm Jen.
And I'm David. We should have had it, well, we meant to have an episode out previously, but things happened. We meant to do, like, a mini episode before Toy Fair happened.
I've been, like, struggling with the crud all month, so...
I've had cat issues, and it's been below freezing.
What? It's... I mean, I still have snow here from, like, a month ago. It's ridiculous.
I mean, I don't think the snow here is entirely from a month ago, but I still
snow. And that
snow.
And that doesn't happen here. We got so much snow. I took my life into my own hands to drive to work one day. It was a lot.
Yeah, it has been. Like, there was a week when it was single digits... basically every day, but like for the past month it's been mostly below freezing.
Yes.
Not that I mind. Well, I like it cold. It's just been so much of it.
Yeah.
I'm questioning my love of the winter.
You're getting kind of sick of it. Yeah, I used to.
Well, my current problem is like I've been wanting to go to the movies, but it's just like there's just so much snow and slush. It's like, nah.
I'm just like, I need the snow to go away so I can touch grass. Because the grass is under the snow. And it's funny, because I spent 3 winters living in Michigan's scenic Upper Peninsula, and now I'm like, how did I do this for 6 to 8 months out of the year? Like, how did I used to just live like this all the time? And I'm definitely not accustomed to the snow staying on the ground for this long, but it's
good cars pretty. And good snow plows.
I drove a Neon.
Yeah. How did you last that long with a Neon in the snow?
By the skin of my teeth.
Jeez. That
anyway.
Probably deserved a medal.
So yeah, we have a little catching up to do, and then we are going to get to the Toy Fair news.
Yeah.
So to start with, announced a couple weeks ago, we finally got to look at Liege Maximo, and he's perfect, A+, no notes.
I give him an A. He's in a way he's better than that one fake AI piece of shit. Although I do kind of miss like, oh, the Triceratops is a neat idea for an alt mode, but turning into a war world thing,
yeah,
A+, that part is.
Yeah.
My main problem with him is that his face is not black. But that is easy to fix.
That's true. Apparently some people are already trying to model up what I am calling the yassified face. That's like a more attractive face. I'm just like, no.
Well,
no.
Well, the one I've seen is like, it's a combo between like the original design and the IDW one, which was more Loki with cheek plates.
Well, that was also, that one came originally from the whole aligned continuity.
Oh, right, yeah, the Book of Revelation nonsense, yes. Or whatever it was.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that wasn't totally original to IDW, but no. Yes, no, this is exactly perfect Derek Yanniger.
He's good.
Yes, he's so good.
He's got a backpack that comes off that upgrades the throne.
Yes, you can put it on the throne. So when he sits on the throne, I am going to have to buy. I don't have the throne. But they did release the throne.
They've done like 3 versions.
Well, they released it by itself in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to have to. Because do you remember? Because it was listed as being like 01. And I was like, yes, we need a whole series of chairs.
I got it. Oh, where is it? I think it's behind a Godzilla, maybe.
But, yeah, I looked, and it looks like you can still get it off AliExpress, so I'm gonna have to look into that so he can have a throne to put his backpack on, because I did not get around to getting that Starscream. I mean, I think we have established for the listeners that I am a big G2 sicko.
Whereas I have barely read any of it.
Oh, you should. It's only 12 issues. Mm. I mean, I say that like it's good. It's objectively okay.
I know. I think I have the second trade of it, not the first one.
I thought
which is why I didn't read much of it.
I thought they only did one.
Well, there may have been a later trade, but the one I got was like the half and half.
Was it the Titan books?
I don't know. It's in a pile somewhere because I couldn't find it. Well, I think it was like I ordered both of them, but like the first one wasn't in stock, so they didn't send me it. They just sent me the second one. It's like, shit. So it's been sitting in a pile.
That's not great. But yeah, I mean, G2 was coming out when I was in high school, and I was getting involved with the fandom and everything, and it was just like, I was the target audience for Generation 2, because
I wasn't.
I was an edgy teenager.
I was edgy in a different way, in that I was annoyed that after my 4-issue limited series finally ended at issue 80, and I didn't want a new series to come along. It's like, God damn it, I want the original. I don't want a Generation 2 one, because I didn't read it. I didn't know it was still Simon Furman.
Yes.
Nope, and so I started reading more manga instead.
I knew it was Simon Furman because I had started reading Marvel Age at that point.
Oh.
Which was the monthly comic format, basically magazine for behind the scenes Marvel stuff, and it would have a list in the back of what week of the month everything was coming out, and so yeah, I saw it in Marvel Age, and Marvel Age had actually some really good G2 sideswipe, just a little piece of art of him that I would like to get as a tattoo at some point. It was really good.
How the a cat just laid down and closed the entire browser that had our notes in it. I don't know how.
She needs to help. She's helping. She's being involved.
Oh, I think she hit the escape button again. Why do you always hit the escape button?
So I, as basically the one person Liege Maximo was designed to impress, am suitably impressed.
I wouldn't say that.
Much like G-Axis.
Yes, G-Axis was designed for you. Liege Maximo at least has a handful of people, half of which are British.
Liege Maximo at least has an alt mode. Just scribbled half-assedly by an artist with no background in toy design or engineering.
Speaking of toy design and engineering...
Yes. Oh my god.
The complicated boy...
It's kind of like... They're kind of like two sides of the whole Transformers approach to toys. Because there's one that's... I mean, approach to toys, I would say specifically in the year 2026. In the 2020s, not like historically. But Transformers in the 2020s is you get stuff like Liege Maximo that's just extremely detailed, loyal to a piece of old fiction. And then you get Nexus Prime, who is a toy.
Well, the problem with Nexus Prime is like, well, there is a model for the Prime version of him. Mm-hmm. And he was, of course, in Transformers 1.
Yeah.
And this one takes elements from that.
Mm-hmm.
While trying to blend some of the ideas from the original Nexus Maximus or Nexus Prime toy.
Gotta turn that safe search off.
But, like, it's overreaching the idea it had, but it's got so many good things in it. As a robot, looks fine. As an alt mode, it's a flying brick, which... Oh, I think...
It's a very, like, tokusatsu jet.
Yes, it's tokusatsu, and it's also sort of Diaclone.
Yeah.
Like, I think there was a specific Diaclone or something that it was vaguely like.
Kind of brave. Kind of bravey. Yeah.
Well, because the colors are mostly blue and red, which, and some gold, which is a throwback to very, very old Super Robot.
Yeah.
When basically every robot was those colors with some gray. But it's also designed to combine with the current combiner torso thingies to become like a combiner chest.
Yeah.
But it just looks so weird, and it doesn't come with the rest of the limb thingies.
I think Mark from Hasbro was saying on Instagram or somewhere like that, I need to pay more attention to the Hasbro socials, but I cannot deal with algorithm-driven social media sites. But I think he said that they do plan on making some limbs to go with him.
Yeah, limbs are fine, but the problem is it doesn't have the armature because the new combiners, except for Devastator, rely on the armature.
Maybe they'll take a cue from Blockies, and they'll sell the armature as its own thing just through Hasbro Pulse.
I mean, okay, I would totally buy that. The problem is, like, why doesn't Nexus Prime himself come with that?
I mean, probably because then he'd be a commander class, and they weren't confident enough in him to make him a commander class.
He's weird enough, but that would be an added gimmick that would make him sell. Like, I'm going to buy him because he's weird, mm-hmm. but I would love him if he came with, like, a backpack that was Superion's jet ass. His booster array.
Maybe they'll get to it. He's one of the interesting things with him is that there is future potential.
Yes.
So that's going to be interesting to wait and see what happens.
I mean, the limb guys are, well, they're just going to be redecos of other existing combiner limbs. It's like, yes, fine, more.
I mean, so were the originals, so.
Exactly.
So that's fine.
Like, one of them's going to be a tank.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's going to be a helicopter, probably.
Well, I mean, Brawl is a Voyager so that he can have the extra parts.
Well,
so
the
they
thing
can
is,
have...
But he's going to have guys that are leggable, although... Oh, no. Yeah, because Brawl only works with the Bruticus leg system.
I mean, there's always remolding.
Yeah.
It's going to be real interesting to see what they do with that.
It's going to be weird.
So Power Glide is perfect.
Power Glide is about as perfect as you can expect him to be. He comes with the mask, and you open the chest, he's got the heart. Like,
he's got the heart from the girl who loves Power Glide when you lift up his chest piece. He's got a little heart in there. And he's also got a mask from Hoist Goes Hollywood, and it's just amazing.
Which connects to his gun.
Yeah, well, you gotta
so
put
you
it
don't
somewhere.
Lose it.
I was gonna skip him, and then the mask was like, and then I saw the heart, and I was like, damn it, I'm pre-ordering him.
Yeah, I haven't pre-ordered him yet, but I do kind of want him.
I pre-ordered
him
with...
I'm trying to cut back on pre-orders.
I pre-ordered him with Liege Maximo to get my free shipping on Entertainment Earth.
Oh, that's actually a good idea. I might do that.
Gotta stack those pre-orders.
No.
I hope that doesn't... like, actually make things cost too much for them, because I like them and I want them to not be damaged by my bad behavior, but if they're allowing it, so be it. Swerve is very much G1 original non-IDW Swerve.
Yeah, with shoulders that would, well, no, they wouldn't quite make a good knockout, but they're just, he's weird.
He's good if you're a big, like, OG mini-bot person, or you really like that bit from Five Faces of Darkness where he got stepped on.
Oh, wait, sorry, my brain was on the wrong character. Never mind. I was thinking of Smokescreen.
Swerve. Yes.
Sorry. S-words. There's a lot of S-words. Okay,
he's kind of forgettable.
Okay, so we're in the red color section of toys now.
Yes, we are in the red color section, which is honestly this entire wave.
Yes! Except for Liege Maximo, everybody has red. Well, he has red minor on his mouth, but everybody else has red as a major color.
I can't believe
some
they
of them only red.
Loyally interpreted that face from that one picture of one panel. I'm just, it's so perfect.
But that should be like the whole that mouth covering, not just the chin. Anyway,
I love it.
I have slight issues with it, but it's
weird.
Better than I would have expected. Yes,
I love that it's weird. I love that it was a weird thing again, like G-Axis's jet mode. I like that it was a weird thing that they were like, "Yes, we're not going to fix this."
Yeah, Swerve
we're
looks
just
good.
Let it be.
He doesn't look like IDW Swerve that I want. But he looks like G1 Swerve, so... Well, he looks
like
a wrong character model of G1 Swerve for reasons. They're not the wiki's fault.
Yes. They did an IDW Swerve already, and it's entirely possible they're going to do another one again. I think, in fact, I would suggest that the degree to which this one is not IDW Swerve by any stretch of the imagination makes it more possible that we're going to get an IDW one in the near future, because then they're very distinct.
Yeah, I would hope, once Power of the Primes is done, the next thing we'll be doing, like, Studio
Age
Series IDW, whatever it's called.
Yeah, that's, they keep, like, teasing it. So, fingers crossed.
And I'm out of tea.
Animated Ratchet, he looks fine. He's appropriately chubby.
Well, the gut doesn't, it goes up, not down, as I would hope, but he's got so many accessories and things, like, he looks good.
He looks good.
He's really good for a remold.
Prime Smokescreen is also there.
Yeah, Prime Smokescreen is, it's like...
I feel so bad, because he came in season 3, obviously thinking he was going to be the main character, and people don't even remember he exists.
I forgot. We did the entire show review of it. I forgot he exists. That guy.
I do have very little object permanence when it comes to him. Like, if he's not in front of me, then I think I forget that he existed.
It's just, it's weird, like, how much he fits into that. The kid-friendly younger, your Hotshot, your Bumblebee, your Cheetor. And possibly because he's not yellow, he's entirely forgettable.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest problem is just that he didn't show up until season 3.
Yeah, Bumblebee was already there.
Yeah, that's, his biggest problem is just that he didn't show up until the end. He's the cousin Oliver, all apologies to Robbie Wrist, but...
I might remember if he'd showed up in season 2, but, like, yeah, so by season 3, it's like, everything's established. New character, you're there. If you do anything important, you should be high then die.
Yeah. So he was just came along at a bad time for people remembering him. Also, Prime related, that Cliff Jumper they did as part of a multi pack is getting a solo repack.
Goody, I already have him. So
I appreciate that you can basically depend on them doing. I guess that's not always the case,
well,
that they're going to do a solo repack.
I think they've done it for all the Autobots, but
they're doing it for Hound, which is good, yeah. Because I desperately needed that Hound so he could be my camping buddy. And I look forward to all of the snow melting so I can go camping and take him with me.
No, I guess they are doing a different color of, or did another different color of Scorponok, so
the one exception that I was thinking of that's one that's really gone up in the secondary market that has not gotten a solo repack was Goldbug. But that Volkswagen license is weird.
Yeah. There's enough Bumblebees.
It's kind of weird what they do and do not. Like, maybe if they did a solo repack, they would have to shell out another big chunk of money to Volkswagen. I don't know.
I'm not going to do that.
So... also coming to Target, that whole Target capsule with Hound and some other guys who aren't worth mentioning. They're fine. They're worth mentioning. Hot Rod is definitely worth mentioning. Battle Damage, Megatron, and Optimus.
Yeah. Which, sure. Like, the Battle Damage Optimus is neat because you can shove a thing in his belly.
Yeah.
The Megatron's face just looks, trying to be as accurate as possible to that scene in the movie,
where
makes
they
it
do
just
the,
look like he's drooling.
The close-up. I mean, he was drooling.
I know, but the problem is in animation, like, it's moving, and the color difference is so slight you may not even notice it.
The problem is he's a robot, so I have a lot of concerns there. Also, the little blockies, the chase figure they did that was, like, the half-dead Optimus Prime also came with that chunk that fits in a little spot in his his grill. So that's kind of deja vu there. I am personally waiting for End of Dark Awakening Optimus Prime.
Oh, yeah, that body horror. Oh, they should do a body horror line, although it'd probably have to be, like, non-transformable, because I also want Ratchet Megatron.
Oh my god.
When we get a toy of that, we have reached peak.
Yeah, that's definitely on par with Flame and Emerit Zeron.
I think it's more because it won't be able to transform.
Yeah, that's fair. I was going to say Flame and Emerit Zeron get weirdness points for being only from UK stories.
Yes.
Which makes them even more obscure. But yeah. At least, I mean, Zeron shouldn't transform, but I guess he's allowed.
He could technically. He just do it once.
My thought was that they should adjust all the tolerances of his design so that the transformation joints specifically were just extremely stiff, and it felt like if you tried to use them, he would break, so.
Well, they should have made him out of gold plastic. Just go back to the old formula. Anyway,
Ooh, gold plastic. Anyway, so those are a thing. Those are, I mean, there's apparently a market for those. Because that's, you know, like the third and fourth battle damaged. Maybe more than that, I think.
Well, if we're going back to every battle damaged version, there's a lot.
Well, I was thinking specifically the movie ones.
Oh, the movie ones.
That they did the Ratchet and the Prowl and Brawn and Ironhide.
Oh, yeah, those guys. Oh, yeah, we're up to 8 now, I think.
It's weird. It's a little weird, but apparently, I mean, there can't be a huge market because they did keep showing up at Ross, but there is at least some market. Takara is doing some interesting things with movie characters with the Overgear line, but
movie
not
question mark,
not the movie that I care about. So
no,
the other movies. It is kind of weird. So they've got Blackout and Ironhide, and now they've showed off an Optimus Prime. The Ironhide does have kind of an Energon Ironhide-looking face.
But only slightly. Like, you could say it's Energon Ironhide, but at the same time, it looks to me like G1 cartoon Ironhide's face wearing a helmet.
I could see that, too. Also, it's been pointed out that that Energon Ironhide wasn't named Ironhide in Japan.
No, he was Roadbuster or something.
But on the other hand, that does make it exotic.
Yeah. Oh, so that Optimus Prime looks kind of neat.
I mean, I'm sure there's an audience for this.
Although, honestly, that would be better as a movie Megatron instead. But
I'm sure there's an audience for these. It's not me, but I'm glad that they're getting. Are these going to be in colors, or are they all just going to be grays?
I would assume maybe they'll do redecos to keep using the molds and get more money out of them. But oh yeah, no, we originally saw like the gray test shots or whatever. It's like, oh, these are going to look neat when they're in color. They're just darker gray.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Ironhide has like a red stripe and that's it.
The gray that they're showing them off in is not prototype gray. It's a different gray. But these are part of the T-Spark subline. So, I mean, I'm glad they're doing some interesting stuff.
Yes, it's neat. Budget to throw at the Blackout, I would get it, but I don't need him. He just looks pretty.
It did get me stupid sexy Rodimus, so I do appreciate that they're doing some interesting stuff with the T-Spark stuff, even though I don't feel compelled to buy a lot of it. I am glad that it exists. They are also doing the MPG Blaster and a bunch of tapes, including some tapes for Soundwave. He does have cartoon face. For those who care about such things, Blaster does have cartoon face, which is, I mean, I like both iterations of Blaster. I like cartoon Blaster and comic Blaster, even though, you know, I mean, I'd say they're different characters, but they're not hugely different characters. They're just the same guy with different levels of shit going on.
Yeah. And like, hey, another Rat Bat.
Blaster just has a much easier life than Comic Blaster, is the thing.
Yeah.
But I feel that if Cartoon Blaster had these things thrust upon him, he would handle them capably. So, unsurprisingly, Missing Link Grimlock is getting anime colors.
Which looks, it looks silly because they have to paint over the fake screw. And all the extra greebly tech stuff they added, they're got to paint over that flat colors.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks, it looks good but ridiculous at the same time, because, oh, it's cartoon colors. It's designed to look more like a cartoon, but it has all the details of the toy that weren't on the cartoon model, so it's just...
Well, it's
ridiculous.
It's missing Link. Or if you wanted your toy to look more like the cartoon, which I understand as a fiction person.
Granted, if I ever do get a missing Link, it probably would be a Grimlock. But I think I would probably go for the other version. Unless this one's cheaper.
And then we have the last Takara T-Spark big thing they're showing off. What if the Matrix was your dead mother's soul?
Yes, another Evangelion crossover with Transformers.
Yes, well, the same one that we've been talking about for the last couple months. Not the previous
pretty
one.
Much, yeah, we just have it in color and see all the details and nonsense.
You can see his opening mouth, which it's important. That's an important detail.
Yeah.
It's like the Jeequox. We were all like, does the mouth open?
The mouth open?
That's important.
What that mouth do?
I don't know, man. Every time I look at this, I just think about the time that I was at, I think it was TFCon 2019 in Reston in DC, talking to Aaron Archer, and I brought up the previous Evangelion Optimus Prime, and he was talking about how he had to have a talk with Takara about, like, making the characters distinctly themselves and not muddying the waters as far as that goes. And all of the Synergex stuff just feels like, I mean, I'm not going to say it feels maliciously against that, but it just always makes me think of that, because it's always, it's again, it's the difference between the Synergex and the American stuff that has them as distinct characters rather than being X but Optimus Prime or X but Megatron. But, I mean, it's fine. As someone who genuinely finds Evangelion to be, like, a meaningful thing to me that I care about, this is fine. It's not the worst licensed Evangelion stuff.
Oh, no, not by a long shot.
So, there's been worse.
Way worse.
But he does have a Matrix in him that is, like, round and red like the Angel Corps.
Yeah.
God damn it. Why? Anyway, quick rundown of third-party stuff recently. McFarlane Toys is giving us heads.
Yeah?
Some people are finding some McFarlane Toys, like, busts of Optimus Prime and Bumblebee and Megatron, except they're not, like, I mean, bust implies, like, shoulders, too. It's just a head on a stand.
The definition of bust has, literally, the meaning of bust has changed, unfortunately, from the original head and neck and shoulder bit.
They are $20 a piece. They're probably over with the collector stuff at your Target. They are by McFarlane Toys for some reason. It's a thing. I'm sure it'll look good on somebody's bookshelf, like behind them on their Zoom call.
Is this the first McFarlane thing that's done Transformers? Because in a way that feels kind of weird.
No, there were those, weren't those little comic packs that were like the little figurines? Weren't those McFarlane?
Maybe.
They came out of just like a few years ago.
Hmm.
And there's one that had Wheeljack and, like, an IDW Megatron and, I think, a Bumblebee, which is great because, frankly, IDW Bumblebee is, like, the only Bumblebee in the current, like, century that actually felt like G1 Bumblebee.
Mm. Oh, but, yeah, I guess they did.
But, yeah,
oh.
I think those were McFarlane.
Yeah, that's... Huh. I kind of forgot, but it is weird, considering how many toys McFarlane puts out, that they haven't done much, and how many things are collaborations these days, that it hasn't come up more often.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they do lots of odds and ends these days. YOLO Park has shown off their color Optimus Primal and Dinobot kits. Also, prototypes of Defensor and Computron.
Yeah, what the heck?
So, Computron is my second favorite combiner team.
I think it's my favorite Autobot team.
I like them. They have interesting story hooks. They are in a very good episode, Money is Everything, in season 3. They're just... I like them. So that's really cool, because they do tend to be, like, you know, the fifth or sixth choice down the line when you're doing combiners.
Well, they have the advantage of Grimlock is their dad.
Yes. Also, Defensor is a good choice. So that's interesting. Flame Toys is bringing shame to us all with their embarrassing RC and Windblade figures.
Oh no, did I miss this one? Oh no, I did see the Windblade, and I didn't know it was official, although, yeah.
This is I'm firmly in the lesbian dilemma here of being like, it's exploitative, but also I like girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. People should be embarrassed to have these on their shelves.
I've seen people with worse.
Oh my god, does that RC have underboob? I think that RC has underboob.
What?
Look at it!
Maybe?
I'm pretty sure she's got, like, white underboob hanging under the pink part.
I think it's just the bottom part of her chest plate is white colored. I don't think it's...
Yeah, and it's round and element. It's under...
It's not... perfectly round. It's slightly curved, but yes, that is the implication.
Yeah. God damn it, Flame Toys. Why? Why you gotta be like this?
I'm just more taken by how much detail they put into Windblade's butt and her butt articulation. Yeah.
Oh, and they made sure to pose it so you could see how much work they did.
Well-designed models, but geez, guys.
We have made so much progress, and at the same time, we are also still where we have always been.
Yeah.
They're cute, though, but yeah. So, wrapping it up, the Transformers Eternal War mobile game is in closed beta in the Pacific region. That includes, like, Australia and New Zealand and the Philippines. Kind of curious about that, but I never really, like... Mobile games don't stick with me very well.
Yeah, not really.
I do love an RPG. It is described as RPG adjacent, but I don't know, man. I got my Switch too. I paid a lot of money for that Switch too. If I want to be gaming and I'm not at home, I got my Switch too. Why am I going to do it on the phone? It's tiny.
So many Steam games. I've gotten a few new Switch games for Christmas and my birthday. And if I'm out and about, I just want to play Balatro.
As a side note, I am currently obsessed with Unicorn Overlord. So that is my current game. But yeah, I can't. I don't know. I should be playing the Transformers Earth Wars because it sounds like it's really good, but... And Simon works on it.
I played a bit of it years ago, but that was a phone ago, and it was fine.
It's fine. Anyway, Toy Fair reveals, we're going to include the stuff that in the week leading up to it, because honestly, Toy Fair...
is a week-long reveals project.
Started on, like, Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
To start off with, you've got the touch and the power. I really appreciate that for the role play matrix of leadership, they did license the touch. Because they don't always pay Stan. You gotta pay Stan the money so you can use the song. But they did decide that for the, like, do we have a price on this?
Oh.
It's definitely in the $100 area.
It has to be. I didn't see a price, but yeah.
And this does appear to be in the same class of toy as the like roleplay Captain America shields that they do, and all that kind of stuff, where it's like life sized, but in this case, it's for something that's not human, so it's scaled down to human life size. It's scaled down to if you were a robot. But it does look really pretty.
It do. It
does.
And you pull apart, it has a song. Like, if it's around $100, I'll probably get it.
Yeah.
If it's ridiculously higher, no.
I mean, I just had to talk myself out of buying that Virtual Boy Switch dock, because I need to be, like, buying shelves and stuff for my house, and replacing light fixtures and stuff. But if not for that, honestly, if my finances were a little more fluid, then I would pick it up. If I could justify the expense, I would justify the expense. But it is very pretty and very sparkly, and it does inform you that you have the touch.
It's probably going to be like $200, though.
No, I think it's... I'm going to...
It's big, and it's got electronics.
I'm going to say 120 at most.
120? Yeah, I might go for that. Anything over 150, and I'm no.
It's so sparkly inside.
It's got very sparkly.
All the facets.
It looks nice.
Just all the little facets. It looks good. And I like that it plays the song.
Yeah, they paid Stan for the song. It's not that
Yay!
Hard.
They're also, Hasbro's doing their whole little apology tour thing on the socials.
Oh, yeah, because is that, or the Matrix, something, they were teasing, like, Transformer Tuesday, we're going to show off something. We're telling you that we're going to show off something Thursday. And then Thursday came in. It's like, still, it's like, did we get to the thing you were teasing? What the fuck was Transformer Tuesday?
They were kind of fumbling some of that stuff a little bit.
It very much felt like they meant to display something important, probably the Matrix, on Tuesday,
yeah.
But it weren't ready.
Maybe it wasn't. Maybe they couldn't find the on switch.
They lost it on a plane or some shit. I don't know. The way they were promoting it, like, it felt like something fucked up in the chain of PR.
Oops. But yeah, it's... they already did Transformers the movie in the theater a couple years ago.
And I want to see it again.
I would probably see it again. When I got my... I got a Black Friday TV that's got... it's like QLED with mini LED technology. Mm. And I was like, what do I have to watch that's pretty? So I pulled up my 4K copy of Transformers the movie. Because if you want something that's going to show off a display that has really good color and really bright color, that's a good movie to go with. So, yeah... I'm probably going to have to go see it again if they do that, which they probably will. Hopefully they'll have new, like, bonus content. But yeah, I mean, it's a cute little thing to do, too. Because, I mean, that's kind of the thing that everyone knows Transformers the movie for, was for being extremely dramatic.
Yeah, it's neat and silly. It's kind of a nothing thing, the apology tour video, but it was charming in its stupidity.
Yeah, it's cute. So it's going to be fun to see what they do with that this year. We got a little more Studio Series 86 stuff. We've got Smooth Shockwave.
At first glance,
I didn't pay a lot of attention to Siege Shockwave. I don't know why. I like Shockwave, but I don't feel a need to, like, necessarily have Shockwave.
I love Shockwave. I got almost any free version I can get. I probably will get this one, too, even though I'm annoyed by it.
I do think there's something about the change they made to the top of his tower.
Yes, because they took away the little eye in it.
They took away the little eye in it. So now, but something about that shift, when I looked at it in the pictures, my immediate thought was, God damn it, once again, they have taken a gun and turned it upside down and called it a submarine.
Yes. Oh, side note.
But he's not a submarine, he's a spaceship.
He's a spaceship, I know, but like for some reason, it made it look more like an actual submarine or something, or a spaceship. Yeah. Anyway, I like that. Side note, their Super Sentai has died after 50 years. Well, they put it to sleep, so they've gone to resurrected Metal Heroes that they used to do ages ago in place of Kamen Rider. Anyway, okay. They're bringing back Gavan, a new version of Gavan, Space Sheriff Gavan.
Okay.
And they have toys, and they were showing off the toy giant robot thing, and it's a gun, only if you turn it upside down, it's a spaceship!
You can't keep turning the space guns upside down to make them not problematic.
But they're using them as actual guns. They're just... The turning it into a spaceship mode is basically turn it upside down and flip out some wings or something.
Yeah, I mean, I realize the thing in America is that if you make him turn into a gun, he is now a toy gun, which has an entire...
And?
A whole bunch of regulations just come down on your head at that point.
That might actually be why they're doing it, because there are complicated reasons they might have ended Super Sentai because Power Rangers connection, so they have more license of their own toys when they're doing Gavan.
Yeah.
So they might try to push it heavy in America and everywhere else. So if you turn it upside down, it's a fucking spaceship. You could sell the spaceship.
And yeah, now you're not subjected to toy gun regulations. Yes! I would like to note for the record that I fully support toy gun regulations. However,
yes,
I don't think you can just turn a space gun upside down and declare it to be a submarine. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's not right. But
it's a spaceship, and some of them have drills on the front. It's
the 86 one does just look more like, on first glance, like a submarine than a spaceship. But that's because it just looks like a conning tower.
Yeah.
But there's Kranix. Go back to my whole thing about how I love when you have an extremely half-assed vehicle mode that was designed by people with no toy design or engineering background.
Wasn't it a Floridary thing? And they made toys of all this other stuff.
Yeah, but they weren't.
Okay, it is granted a sillier thing. It's a series of wedges with his face on the front.
Yeah. Actually, I'm not sure if the vehicle mode came from Floridary or if that was just when... Because I think it only shows up in the Universe bio books.
What?
And I think possibly in... I would have to double check in the Marvel movie adaptation, but it's mostly, I think, the Marvel bio stuff from G1.
Oh, yeah, maybe it was only that. Huh.
But, yes, I mean, they had to make him turn into something to make a toy.
Yeah.
So it was a good thing they already had a toy. Or an alt mode, but yeah, he's definitely, once again, he just turns into a thing.
Okay, so we're getting Kranix, we're presumably getting an Arbalus, maybe just to redeco, or possibly slight remold.
Now, yeah.
Can we get Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Bot? No, we can't, because those are built out of Gundam parts, but I can dream.
Yeah, the ones from the back of the cell. On Quintessa.
The body parts from the back of the cell. Actually, I wonder if anybody's like gotten the Gundam kits to build those. Someone has
Spare
to have done
me
that.
This mockery of justice.
Oh, he's so emotive.
He's got one line, and by God, he's gonna ring it for all he's got.
He has a line at the beginning saying Arbalus, so we know the other guy's name.
That's the first line in the movie is him. Astro Train is here.
Oh my god,
is this,
to me, worst Astro Train ever.
Is this significantly different from Siege Astro Train?
Yes, in that it looks way uglier.
But does it look uglier in an engineering sense or, like, in a color sense?
The colors, I think, are actually better, but, like, it feels way over-engineered, and which is a silly thing to say about something that turns into a locomotive engine. Okay, the engine mode looks
engineered.
Good.
Engineered.
And the little chugga-chugga bits work.
Mm-hmm.
No problem with the train. Problem with everything else. I just...
Yeah.
Ugh, I... Wow, he's just... Like, what is all the extra shit on his legs? God.
I guess he's hard to pull off.
And the hilarity of the mistransformed chest. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't look better when it's properly transformed.
Yeah.
Like, why has he got a wasp waist? What the fuck? I just... Oh.
He's a hard one to get right, I guess.
I mean... Okay, Astro Train is hard to get right. None of the others are quite right. The last one, Combiner Wars? The one that comes with an extra chunk. That one's
I thought it was Siege. Good. The one that came with the coal car?
Yeah, the one that came with the coal car. That one's pretty good. I think the one before that was better, kind of. But, like, they just keep getting worse and worse. Granted, the last version of Blitzwing wasn't that great either. Looks great in robot mode and does weird shit in plane mode that looks more like the original toy, which looks hideous as hell.
Yeah, those are, you know, triple changers are tricky.
Triple changers are admittedly, the original triple changers, trying to get accurate to them is just such a problem.
I mean, Springer is just his vehicle mode with rotors.
There's a few other
rotors, so
they did some interesting things with at least the last Springer that like made it a little bit different. It's fine, but Springer doesn't he doesn't transform that much. And the Dune Buggy guy, they've done good things.
Sandstorm,
but like everybody else is like ugh.
So there are also single repacks of the Sunstreaker and Wheeljack that were in the 5-pack.
Yay.
And there's also Voyager Skywarp, who was inevitable. I saw the Thundercracker in a store, and they do look pretty good. The new Studio Series Seekers look good.
I saw him in a store, I picked him up just to see what he's like, and annoyingly, I really, really like him. So I'm going to get the other two, at least.
Good, because there's going to be so many.
I know.
I personally am just saddened that we are leaving the Siege mold behind before we have managed to do Action Master Thundercracker.
Okay, yes, we need an Action Master Thundercracker.
There was a whole Shattered Glass line.
And there were so many other things.
That whole Shattered Glass line, and they could have done them, and they chose not to.
It's so many, we got freaking Nacelle and other weird colors. And they reused him to make a Shockwave, well, Senator Shockwave.
Yes.
It's like, sad. And yet, still, sad. No G2. It's on.
So, we are getting a commemorative 250th American anniversary Star Eagle.
Oh my god. That feels so much like a, oh shit, someone just realized 2 weeks ago, oh, it's the 250th anniversary. We could do something for that. We have an Eagle toy.
It kind of feels like somebody up the ladder was just called all the departments, because apparently there's also a G.I. Joe one.
Yeah, there's a G.I. Joe. Just... There's a G.I. Joe one. Or were they... Well, no, maybe... Was it G.I. Joe or was that two Super 7?
Well, there is a G.I. Joe one.
Well, yeah, I mean, but was it Hasbro or Super 7? I forget.
I think it was Hasbro.
Okay. I just remember...
I think it was for Classified.
The first thing I saw of that was an accidental, like, they mixed Flint and Duke's, like, art on top of each other, and it looked cool, but that wasn't the actual art. It was an error. I don't know how that happened.
I think that was Falcon, actually.
Oh, Falcon, whatever.
But, I mean, fair enough to confuse them. But, yeah, I mean, it's fine.
It's goofy. I might get it. And then repaint his red head crest blue.
I might get it and just wait until a year when I feel better about having it.
There is that, yes. I would not open it and sit on
right
a shelf.
Now, it's just kind of like,
I'll wait until the 255th, maybe.
I'm proud about what a lot of people in this country are doing right now, even if they're not the people in power. So that's something worth being a little bit proud of, is... You know, the activism going on in this country, yes, and people stepping up for their community. So that's worth being proud of. I still don't know if I'm going to buy a $28 toy about it, but yeah.
Oh, no.
Not unless the money is going to, like, an immigrant support fund in Minneapolis.
Ooh, that'd be neat. Unlikely.
That'd be
anyway,
fun. Cyberverse.
What the heck happened to Cyberverse while I wasn't looking?
Truck Monkey. No, Cyberworld. I'm sorry. I put it wrong in the thingy.
Well, the problem is they're the two series so close together, Cyberverse and Cyberworld.
Yes,
we've been reviewing Cyberverse.
I also blame Hasbro. Yeah. We have come to this moment. We have come full circle. We now have the Truck Monkey. We now have an Optimus Primal who turns into a truck.
Optimus Primal shouldn't be a truck.
It's not right. It's not right.
He's kind of hilarious and one of those. I've only gotten, two Cyberverse things, and they're amusing and small.
Mm-hmm.
So I might get more Truck Monkey, at least for the hilarity.
You can't do that. You can't just have a fan truck.
Well, it is a throwback. Wasn't it one of the ideas for what the fuck were they going to call the thing after Beast Machines?
Oh, Transtech.
Yes, Transtech. Well, I forget that name. Yeah, they were maybe going to turn Primal. Oh no, Primal was gone. Or were they going to turn Optimus into a monkey truck or something? There was a design somewhere in there.
We've come full circle.
And there's
now,
a giant bumblebee with lights that you can put other toys
inside. Now we
inside
can say monkey, what? Not truck. Yes, there's a great big bumblebee. He lights up. He's got a little bee friend, which is honestly the most interesting part of it to me, is he's got a little bee friend. It's probably not intentional, but the bee friend does kind of look like the little insect heat ray thing from Cosmic Rust.
Kind of. My first thought was like Gray Waspinator.
I'm just like pulling all the deep G1 cartoon cuts tonight. That's just a thing. It's cute bug. It's definitely, it seems to be kind of like this year's version of the Scorponok toy.
Yeah, the big thing.
It's huge and fun, and I don't have that much space in my house, so.
Yeah, don't need it.
But it's cool that it exists.
Meanwhile, other smaller things.
Scourge is a pirate ship.
Which looks fucking amazing. It's like
the
bright colors. A lot of these also have like big translucent parts on them.
The colors are very cool. Yeah, I think the translucent parts might be part of the Energon Surge thing. I don't know. I watched some of the Cyberworld cartoon.
I watched like 4 episodes, I think.
I think I would get along with it better if it wasn't about a kind of game that I have strong opinions about.
Yeah, it's a Fortnite.
You know who talk to a lot of people high up in the gaming industry about doing these microtransaction addictive loot box games? Jeffrey Epstein!
Ew. Admittedly, he wasn't the one that came up with the idea originally, but yes! Don't you think the more people?
It's great when it turns out something that you were pretty sure was toxic actually turns out to be extremely
toxic. Yes. Yep.
Like, if they did a Transformers series that was a bunch of them getting isekai'd into an MMO, I'd be here. Give me, like, Cybertron Art Online, you know? but you make it about one of these Fortnite-style shooters, and I'm not here. I can't care.
Oh.
I don't like it. After, I can watch it for a few minutes before that voice in the back of my head starts talking about how toxic that kind of game is.
A Decepticon in King Arthur's Court 2.
Yes. So yeah, I haven't been able to get into the anime, but animation.
but all the designs these weird are neat. Toys are cool. Like the Scourge.
Soundwave has his tentacles back. I mean, they're different tentacles. Oh,
Soundwave. The Soundwave is another big thing that looks creepy. And he's got tentacles, and
he's got that,
like a pirate hat almost. It's like
a sea monster hat.
Yeah. Also, snapping jaws is like, oh, he's hideous and
it's
probably
going to
be too expensive. I don't get it, but
with like tentacles on it. Yeah. I mean, Soundwave does historically have tentacles in Transformers Prime, as any scroll through Tumblr at the time would have told you.
Oh, and there's a hound that's like a snow vehicle, but his robot mode looks almost like a Yeti, someone said.
Yeah, he's like Yeti themed, which is cool.
Sure.
So that's, I mean, it's a lot of really neat designs. It's really interesting stuff. So it's fun. It's a lot of fun. I like that it's all bright colors because
yes.
I like when things are very bright colors. I like the late 80s G1 aesthetic more than the early 80s. So and there's a Shockwave that's like a Spinosaurus.
Yes, we get our Spinosaur Shockwave that half the people on the internet wanted during the big boat thing.
I guess the Spinosaur meta these days is that they're quadrupedal?
I'm not sure. When I first I thought this was a Dimetrodon, but the head is very Spinosaur, so...
We'll have to ask our paleo nerd friends, of which we actually have several.
Every, like, year or two, Spinosaur changes.
It's like I said, it's the Spinosaur meta. It's the overall discussion of Spinosaurus.
It was fully aquatic, then it wasn't for a bit. Now I think it's mostly fully aquatic again, which might be quadrupedal. I don't know. It's like anything you want Spinosaur to be, it has been and will be in the future.
Yes.
I have not seen a flying version yet.
They'll find a fossil that has something that's clearly wings on it and be like, oh.
It's got webbing behind its back legs. Like, ooh, it flew with its back legs? What? Had an air bladder? Who knows?
So yeah, the Cyberworld stuff. I figured this was probably our best chance to see a lot of the Cyberworld stuff because Toy Fair is an industry-focused thing rather than a collector focused thing, so this is where you're gonna see the actual stuff for kids, what of it still exists. And then we got a couple last crossover things. The soccer ball that we saw a few weeks ago is named Breakaway, which I guess is a soccer thing. I don't know, I don't sports.
I don't, when you kick the ball, that's maybe the breakaway. I don't know. Maybe a thing I don't follow. I don't follow footy ball.
You don't follow the footy.
No.
And then there is a... they're doing a red redeco of Twin Mill that it really looks like Alternator's Hot Rod. It's got the white stripes on the
stripes,
body
so
and everything.
It's so ridiculously that. It's looks fine, but I already got the blue one.
That's fun. I'm still waiting for them to do High Beam. I'm waiting for it. And then last thing we got to see was Blocky's Wheel Series 2 list.
Oh, yes.
It is Wreckers themed this time. Not entirely, but we get Springer and we get Roadbuster. We get Overlord as two vehicles, a plane one and a tank one. And we've got Iron Fist. And then I guess the rest of these are just other wave filler. It is very cool that they have some Nick Roche art on the package, even if it's just a little bit, and it's very much the IDW designs of all those characters.
All of them, it's really neat and weird that we're getting them.
Yes. There's also a Shattered Glass Sideswipe, and I would just like to remind Blockies that G2 Sideswipe is right there. Mm. You can use G2 Sideswipe. This is the second Shattered Glass Sideswipe. I kind of care a little about Shattered Glass Sideswipe, but not nearly as much as G2. So, come on. Give me what I need. That is, so far, the Transformers stuff. We're recording on Saturday night. To wrap up, what non-Transformers stuff were you excited to hear about this time?
Oh, right. Look, what was it? There was... Metal Slug from Yolo Park. It's like, what? Those are like neat little kits, the little cute tanks and things.
That is...
And an ostrich with Gatling guns. Slug is so weird, but...
Between Blockies and Yolo Park, because Blockies also had the Mega Man stuff.
And Blockies Marvel Rivals.
Yeah, so those they're doing Marvel the Rivals stuff. They're doing, again, Evangelion. It's between Blockies and Yolo Park, they're just really cleaning up. I'm curious to see if more of that makes it into big box stores. We know Blockies is showing a little bit at Walmart. I know my comic shop guy is able to get Blockies.
I would be surprised if their rivals do not. Like, those will sell like hotcakes.
Yeah. Blockies is showing up at FYE. For those who still have a mall, and that mall still has an FYE.
There was one? I have to go and see if it's still there.
I mean, you can probably look it up online these days.
I mean, yes, I could probably look it up online.
They are overpriced there, but they are there. I was very excited early in the week. And as of now, we are still awaiting any kind of solid reveals on... Actually, you know what? I'm clicking back over to Discord real quick. I gotta see if anyone, as we've been recording... Nope, I'm not seeing any updates since we've been recording. Sadly, we have not seen any solid reveals yet. But Super 7 is doing Visionaries.
Oh, yeah. There was an announcement, that was it.
However, I need to know if they're doing actual holograms. This is important.
Yeah, that is important.
Because a few years ago, when they did that big Unity set, the big Revolution set for SDCC, the one that's got the teeny tiny Micronauts that has the Betatron and Gamatron that are close to the cartoon models, and I need to get those. The Leoric from that set did not have a proper hologram.
Hmm.
But also, that was a big set and not a dedicated Visionaries thing.
No. The Marvel recently, or Hasbro Marvel recently did, the Secret Wars again. But I think those are lenticular shields, not hologram shields.
Yeah, those are lenticular. So that's a little bit different technology. So far, Entertainment Earth has listings for Leoric and Darkstorm. Big surprise. Mm. If they wanted to be really cool, they could have let in with Galadria and Virilina, but ooh, sadly, yes. No. they are Reaction Plus, so they're more in line with the G.I. Joes that they're doing right now. So they've got O-rings and everything. They're not just 5 POA. I mean, I'd rather they be Reaction Plus than just regular Reaction.
I guess they have articulation, but O-rings break and that annoys me.
Yeah, they do eventually. I did look up, speaking of Marvel Age, because I did drop Marvel Age earlier. Back in the day, there was a Marvel Age feature on the making of the holograms that they did for the X-Men Fatal Attractions crossover. And that is a really good sort of behind-the-scenes look at how holograms are actually made. I would guess because at the time it involved, like, you had to actually hand sculpt the thing that you were then going to make the hologram of.
Yeah.
I assume these days you can probably get away with 3D printing that. But you don't see, like, sheets of hologram stickers like you used to. But you see a lot of holograms as, like, stickers on, like... authenticity stickers.
Yeah.
So it's not that the art has just totally faded. It's just that nobody thinks it's as cool as it used to be, which is incorrect. It will always be very cool.
Yeah.
So I'm got my fingers crossed. I'm holding on to hope that they actually do the holograms, but even if they don't, I will still be happy to have a modern Leoric and Darkstorm that, even though they won't be to scale with the old stuff, they'll... I mean, I could... I don't know, reaction toys do tend to have very nice packaging. Like, they display well in the package, too.
Yeah.
So I could even, but I will definitely be picking those up, but I'm waiting to see how excited I'm going to be about them.
The only one I would want is if they do the wizard and a playset.
That would be fun. I don't know if they're doing that kind of stuff with Reaction Plus, no. But...
might just get the wizard.
Yeah. I think that's more of a Loyal Subjects kind of thing. There was a bunch of Loyal Subjects mask stuff, but that's, you know, exciting for the mask people. Mm. Also, a couple more holograms. They're doing Glitter and Gold Gem, which I care about. But my biggest thing, my biggest non-Transformers news for this toy fair was definitely that we have... that Visionaries has not been completely forgotten. So, I was excited that it's going to be coming out, and also just excited that it has not been completely forgotten and relegated to the bin of history. So I'm excited for new Visionary stuff at all.
I guess Transformers related, unrelated, although it wasn't at Toy Fair, it was something else, I think. They're still making stuff for SSS Gridman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Megatron and Optimus girls holding hands.
Yes.
Oh, we still haven't watched that stupid movie.
There's a whole major studio anime project that's just SG Meg Op Toxic Yuri. So,
yeah.
That's fun. But yeah, every so often I'll see some new merch from that show up, but it's just those two being sexy.
Usually, yeah.
Being occasionally sexy underage girls.
Art about something. Well,
I know. Having paid attention to Gal Gaigar merchandise, I know that's how these things go.
Oh yeah.
At a certain point.
Well, no, because most of the Gal Gaigar stuff that was sexy was Swan White, and she was in her 20s at least.
Well, yeah. There was also what's her name? Guy's cousin from the. From Final.
Oh, Renee?
Yeah.
Something French.
Anyway. So yeah, I think that does it for our Toy Fair 2026 extravaganza.
Yep.
You can find us on Blue Sky. You can find us on Mastodon. We've got a Patreon at iconunderground.com/Patreon. This month, we are doing an episode of Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes that Rob assures us is actually good, which is not an experience we generally have with Marvel cartoons that Rob has us watch.
Yeah, it's weird when I figure I'm the one that's going to be inflicting weird anime things on people instead, but Rob's the one that gives us the bad shit.
I tried to.
The worst
at least...
I brought recently is the Dracula anime, which is hilariously fun.
That was wild. I try to at least find the best of whatever ridiculous thing I recommend. But yeah, so that is our stuff. We are going to call it a night here, and hopefully I'll find out about those Visionaries sooner rather than later. All right, and my torty Madeline Pryor has come in to start rubbing herself up against my microphone while I'm trying to record, so we'll call it a wrap.
Yes, so I can go stream a thing, and then, I gotta watch stuff so we can record again tomorrow!
Yay! Yep, we will be recording for Stasis Pod and the Patreon tomorrow.
All right. Our between seasons Stasis Pod. So
until,
not Transformers.
Until next time, this has been Jen.
And David. The TMNT stuff is neat too. All
Maddie.
The crossovers with Joe and Godzilla.
The G.I. Joe guy with the dinosaurs.
Yes. Oh yeah, that's cool too. And Master Splinter as King Caesar. I want that stupid idea.
Alright, good night.
Bye. Record.
All right. I'm just getting to the start of the stuff with Jamie Braddock. Dun dun dun. He's a crazy reality warper.
Oh yeah, the Jasper warp nonsense or whatever it was.
Jim Jaspers was in Captain Britain when Alan Moore was working on it. And after Alan Moore
Alan Moore explains everything. I didn't realize it was him.
And so Alan Moore wouldn't let anyone else use the character. But Chris Claremont really liked the character. And so, and this was like 5 or 6 years later. It definitely, since I've read everything leading up to it, it does seem a lot like Jamie Braddock is the character he uses to do the stuff that he wanted to do with Jim Jaspers. So Jamie Braddock becomes a very Jim Jaspers-like character, but is an actual distinct character who he's legally allowed to use. But it's not like... They don't make it like, they don't draw explicit links between them. At least not that I've gotten to. It's possible that Brian is going to be like, is going to notice.
That kind of reminds me of that guy. Well, there's enough reality warpers in Marvel anyway.
I mean, not all of them are crazy, but a lot of them are crazy.
Shit, I could probably name 5 of them off the top of my head. Most of them are crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Franklin's generally okay.
What? Because he didn't start as a reality warper. That's just a more recent thing, kind of.
I guess. And Wanda's just crazy because of misogynist writers.
Wanda's crazy off and on.
Wanda's just crazy because of misogynist writers.
Yeah. Is Legion technically a reality warper?
That's a good question. He's probably got a personality that can... do an amount of reality warping, because that's his whole
reality
shtick.
Warping, I remember it happens around
he's
him.
Got like
he's got a head full of different dudes with different powers.
Yes, he's got like Hollywood multiple personality disorder, and they all have different powers, so there's probably a reality warper in there somewhere.
I did read one of the Legion miniseries, not that I remember a lot of it.
I mean, he's an interesting character. Anyway, okay, let's do this.
Yeah, okay.
I just need to talk to people about the stuff I've been reading.
Yes.
I accidentally renewed Marvel Unlimited for the year, so I was like, fuck it. I had to resort to piracy for the whole Jasper's Warp story, though, because Alan Moore. They reprint some of his stuff, but not, like, a chunk of that was not on Marvel Unlimited. All right.
I knew we had problems with DC. I didn't know we had as many problems with with Marvel.
Yeah. the funny thing was, I was reading...
I guess the main problem is he's mad at DC because they keep shitting print.
Well, yeah. The funny thing was when I was reading, you know, figuring out what I needed to read to be reading Captain Britain, because it's all sort of piecemeal. And there was a bit about how, there is this one writer that started on the series, but the editors felt he was getting too political, so they replaced him with Alan Moore. And I'm like, what?
Like, brother?
So we found this hedge wizard sleeping in the shrubbery behind Cambridge. And we put him on the book.
Yes, we're sure this Brit will not be political.
We figured, well, the previous one was also British. But it's like, really? But apparently he left because they weren't paying him. He left.
Like, at all?
Well, I think the way the Wikipedia put it was, like, a dispute over invoices.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
I mean, Marvel UK was kind of, like, a hole in the wall. So. I don't know how good their bookkeeping was. Maybe they had Richard Starkings just doing their bookkeeping in between editing and lettering jobs.
Or it was a weird thing where, like, Marvel US was supposed to pay him, not the UK, and it was just nonsense.
On the other hand, maybe this is why Simon Furman didn't think that much of it when Dreamwave stopped paying him. Maybe
he, yeah, he just wasn't surprised. It's just like, oh, it's happening again.
Maybe he just figures that's how comics, the comics industry works, is that sometimes...
By experience, yes.
Pay you. All right. Anyway...
I mean, that is a lot of creative artistic endeavors.
Yeah. Oh.
Video games!
Video games. All right, we are going to do an episode, and it's going to be about Transformers.
Yay!
All right, ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go.